Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 155, recorded on April 26th, 2012. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeffrey Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Oh, so it's a formal day. Hello, my fine Sir Michael.
Hello. I'm not sure. I can't really extend past that.
That's
You're
okay.
asking too I, much of
nothing.
Me here. Yeah. It would fall flat either on my end or back at your end, so... We'll just go with
that. No, just on your end.
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Pretty good. I just ate an apple. I'm feeling revived, rejuvenated.
Yeah, I think I got my Mac fixed, so I'm doing good.
What'd you do to
awesome.
It? What was wrong with it?
I don't know, it was just doing weird stuff. I just did a whole member program on my troubleshooting, but I think I narrowed it down to a bad external hard drive that was causing some Time Machine issues.
I got a question for you, completely tangential and not really too related to iOS, but so I got a Drobo, and
me too.
It's where my I store all of my iTunes media on it, and it's not like the fastest thing in the world, but you'd think it should be able to play iTunes music without ever pausing. You know what I mean? You get a little skippy. It's not really a skip. It's just kind of a momentary
stutter.
Sure. Yeah, I get that all the time. And it's really inconsistent. Is that normal? I don't see that
anywhere. Is it directly connected, like over FireWire?
Yeah, FireWire 800 to a Mac Mini that's certainly powerful enough to play music.
Yeah, that's what I have mine hooked up to, although mine is more like a network server kind of thing.
Do you ever get that stutter?
I don't listen to music directly off of it.
Hmm.
It does have a spin-up delay, though, and it's because it's not always on. I mean, could it be related to that, or is it like even right in the middle you've been...
Right in the middle, yeah. It's playing music maybe in the middle of an album. Who knows? It's just like that. It's been like that. Inconsistently,
weird.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe I've got applications that are accessing the drive, and I don't know. But at least I know that's not a normal problem.
I would not think so.
Yeah, okay. So we should talk about some iOS stuff, and we'll top it off. We'll start it off with a report from Valve. Last week we talked about how Tim Cook was visiting Valve, the wonderful game studio.
Except he wasn't.
Turns out Gabe Newell, co-founder of Valve.
He might know what's going on.
He would know. He certainly would. He said that not only did he have no knowledge of Tim Cook coming to his wonderful company, the certainty of the report coming from Apple Insider caused them to shoot a bunch of emails among various groups saying, is Tim Cook meeting with you? Who's he meeting with? Like, they didn't know.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it turns out Tim Cook did not do any of that as far as he knows.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So now I have to wonder, how did the story get started? Did someone just pull it out of their ass? Or did someone think that they actually really saw Tim Cook there?
Well, there's a neat little... Did you see the Joy of Tech cartoon?
Yeah, I think that totally nailed it.
Yeah,
Tim had to pee.
He was out on his bike. And he had to, like, use the restroom at Valve, so he kind of stopped in, like, hey, what's up? So,
how do any of these rumors get started confirmed?
Yeah,
that's
one of those things that really...
Apple Insider ran the story. Did they do a follow-up here's why we thought this?
That's what I'm interested in.
as far as I know, they didn't.
They're pretty reputable, too.
They are. I mean, in general, but I mean, it does call into... I mean, something like this happens, and it does call into question, right? It's sort of like, Have you guys just, did you just get lax on this one story, or are things going downhill, or what's going on?
Yeah, there's maybe some of her DigiTimes called them.
Exactly. Some of her DigiTimes.
Like. Oh, we've got something from DigiTimes, so you just hold on. But yeah, no, I don't. I'm not seeing anything else about Valve on Apple Insider's page. Just that one story with no follow up or any updates.
Yeah,
or anything,
they probably dropped the Valve stuff really fast. Like, let's let Valve kind of settle for a little while. We'll do other Valve rumors later.
Yeah.
And I understand, you know, you get burned and
sure,
it happens. Yeah. I mean, they may have had a reliable source that just failed them this one instant. Mm-hmm. In this one instance, excuse me.
So, on to next gen iPhone, so iPhone 5 stuff. We've seen a couple interesting things. The first was Qualcomm, I believe it is. They do the modems for many advanced smartphones, and including, I believe, the iPhone. They're saying that they're having some shortages in their supplies of LTE modems. And so they don't think that they're going to have stuff anytime soon. And of course, there are a lot of people thinking, hey, maybe we'll get a new iPhone in the summer.
Oh,
instead of
Who's thinking that? Who's thinking
Well, people who haven't been paying attention to the fact that we've been getting them in the fall now.
And but, this would be an iPhone that comes out like 8 months after the last model.
Right. Okay. But this supports the idea that it's coming out in the fall.
You know what really supports the idea that it's coming out in the fall?
The fact that
it'll be at least a year since the last iPhone came out.
Yeah, that works.
Of course, this helps, but still.
Yeah, you guys both have 4S's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm chilling with my iPhone 4. And I'm excited to get the 5 when it does come out. Because, you know, it's going to have, like, Tupac hologram technology in it.
19th century.
It will have 4G.
Yeah.
I mean,
what is that called? Something's ghost? What is that?
Huh?
Jeff?
Oh, it's Pepper's Ghost.
Yeah, Pepper's Ghost tech. It's going to come with a giant screen and a projector.
Yeah. You know, if you want to see Pepper's Ghost done really well, go do the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have the whole ballroom dancing thing. That's all Pepper's Ghost.
And Tupac is now a new addition to that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's dancing, so there you go.
Right.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Which one? The
Tupac.
The ride? Do you
addition
know?
To the Disneyland ride.
Yeah, you didn't know that they did that.
It'll be there next time you go, I'm sure.
Yeah. So the next generation iPhone, we're also looking at, they call it in-cell technology for the touch portion. So right now they're using on-cell technology touch panels, which lay over the color filters, but there's new technology that, let's see.
It lets you mash it all together.
Sharp. Yeah, they let you put it like right on the filter. So Sharp, Sony, Toshiba, they currently have that technology available, and that the yields are getting high enough that David can't say his last name, Heise, something like that. Display Search. He's an analyst. He says that he believes Apple's going to be utilizing that in the next iPhone. The benefit, of course, being it can get thinner, so you have less layers, fewer layers. And, you know, they talk about how, Apple really needs to get competitive again. They need to shrink the thickness they think it'll help them shrink it by 15%. And there are higher end offerings in like 7 to 8 millimeters. And I guess the 4S is 9.3. Honestly, I don't, and I've talked about this before, I don't think the iPhone needs to be thinner.
There comes a point where the thinness becomes a liability.
Well, not only is it a liability, it's less comfortable to type on. I have a case on my iPhone. Do you guys use cases that make it thicker?
Nope.
No?
I have a an in-case that's really thin.
Is it the slider, or is it the one that has perforations and wraps around?
No perforations, but it wraps around.
So it's just, it just kind of plops in there. It's real
thin. Yeah. And it's nice. No, I'm sorry.
Roll
it's a
in the raw,
mate.
Baby.
It's a casemate. And
so you're,
most of the time I go commando with my iPhone, though.
Okay, so Adam, you said you're commando on your phone, too?
Yeah, in the raw.
Yeah. I like that, in the raw. So, but you guys, I guess you don't find it uncomfortable to thumb type on that way?
No.
No? Maybe it's just because I'm used to having extra thickness with the case on it. But, yeah, I mean, would you guys say that it needs to be thinner?
You know, if they go much thinner, I will get concerned about durability and about comfort when you are doing things like texting. Now, that said, I should probably go and play with an iPod Touch because that is thinner than the iPhone.
True, yeah.
And see how I feel texting on that. Because my iPod Touch is the model right before they added a camera.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm trying to pull up the specs on the thickness of the current iPod Touch. It is, where is that? You'd think it'd be right there.
Do you have Mac Tracker?
I do, but
okay, there you go.
Okay, it's faster. No, it's right here. Depth, you got 7.2 millimeters, so it's much thinner than the iPhone.
All right, so before I start bagging on comfort, what I need to do is go to the Apple Store and play with the new iPod Touch.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess you don't hear that complaint, oh, my thumbs hurt, iPods. At least I haven't heard that complaint, so... Yeah. What else? We saw some next generation or supposed claimed next generation iPhone part leaks. We saw two home buttons, the white, black.
Is it just me or do they always start with the home button as the first leak part?
I don't recall.
Must be
it's an easy thing to grab, I guess.
Well, I'm wondering if it has to do with the production cycle, too, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. But, okay, so initially when this came out, we weren't sure. We saw some front-on photos. It looked like there was a... It was larger. That it was going to be a rounded rectangle rather than a circle. Although it wasn't clear if the rounded rectangle portion was behind the display or not. There are two little tabs on either side of the current home button that kind of support it, keep it from popping out. Turns out, I believe, I can't see the website, but on other places that have these home buttons available, it's the photos make it more clear that is behind the home screen. So it's going to, if these are the real home buttons, then it's going to be behind the screen. It's still going to be the same button.
Well, yeah, why do we care? Just that it's the same, I guess.
That it is the same, it's not changing.
We're not having
a bigger button.
The touch area, yeah. No home button sort of thing.
I mean, I still, like, I don't use my home button on my iPad. I don't.
At all?
No.
Because you swipe up, you pinch to close and...
You know, that, let's talk about that for a little bit, because there's so many apps that rely on multi gestures. So I've tried to roll with that feature turned on.
Yeah.
But I have so many apps that use multi touch gestures that conflict with that I have to turn it off.
Yeah, I do that. I have apps like that occasionally where I have to turn that off, and that is annoying.
Now, I haven't had to turn that off. So am I not using the same apps as you?
Well, like Note Shelf is one of those that kind of freaks out when that's on. I've had some issues, I think, with Paper, although I can't remember specifically.
Okay. I've had, upon occasion, a problem with Paper, but I think it's more my coordination, which is probably telling, because if if gestures become complex enough that you have to worry about your own eye-hand coordination, they're probably too complex.
Yeah. True that.
Well, I had, when I did my interview with Ken Case from Macworld, from Omni, he was talking about this dilemma that developers have, and I think they took the right approach because he had said when they found out about multi-touch gestures, they were getting excited with their applications about all the potential that they could do. You know, we could do this multi-touch gesture to do that and this multi-touch gesture to do this. And he said, you know, as they got into it and started actually developing it and working with it, what they realized was that suddenly they now have an education problem, right? It's like, yes, to do anything on the app, you now have to somehow communicate and train people about all of these fancy gestures. Yeah. And I've seen some apps, you know, that start up the first time and you have to do a whole like demo, like a tutorial, almost like a game of like, here's how you use our app. And he was just like, and I really appreciate this. They just made the call that, you know, that's we don't want to have to train everybody on a whole new like gestural language and have that gestural language be different from app to app. It kind of breaks down the whole idea of an easy user experience.
And it is different from app to app.
It is. And so I have so many apps that are doing that exactly that. And I'm actually, it's becoming frustrating now because it's sort of like, I can't remember, you know, which gesture does what in which app and which, you know, two finger tap here does this in this app and something completely different in another app. And I think it's something that Apple's going to have to address. And unfortunately for developers, I think the way Apple addresses it is to be like, look, we define what the multi-touch gestures are and you can use them in this way in your app. But beyond that, you're out of luck. I don't think it can happen now because I think it's too late, but it probably should have.
Yeah, probably should have. And yes, you're right. It gets confusing because you can use the exact same gesture in five different apps and have to do five different things. Yeah.
So, and we see that with this, you know, the multi-touch gesture that Apple said, this is how the OS uses four finger swipes. And if any app wants to commandeer that, well, then you have this conflict and you have to turn it off, which to me is frustrating. You know, I wish the, you know, if I was an app developer, I would just choose not to use that gesture, but that limits your language for your programming. So I understand why they don't, but it's definitely a dilemma.
Yeah, I agree. Especially if you, I mean, I think there's a way to, is there a shortcut to turn off the 4 and 5 finger gestures? I think there is.
Okay, now the irony of having a gesture to enable or disable the gesture, no, I mean, is not lost on me.
It's fun. But I mean, not a gesture, it's like a home button.
You probably can do it through the universal access, through
that overlay thing?
Yeah, where you tap the home button like four times and up pops your options for disabling or enabling certain features. I'm not positive, though. I'd have to look into that.
Triple tap... Yeah, triple click. No, yeah. No, I have it set to toggle the zoom. The zoom was the other thing. The triple, the three
you can
finger.
Have it, yeah, and you can have it toggle voiceover. You can have it, but so turning on and off multi-touch gestures isn't one of those things.
Yeah, that'd be nice though. Anyway, so Google Drive. Google's launched a new service. Well, I don't know if they've launched it. I don't have the ability to get to it, but they announced.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. They've launched a new service called Google Drive, like Dropbox. And users have 5 gigabytes of free storage. Other details I'm not entirely clear on. Are there clients for Mac and iOS?
Not yet.
Well, there's going to be, right?
Yeah, there
I don't
will
know if there is. Sorry.
Not yet. What they did was they released an Android client app.
Okay.
And said, don't worry, we'll get around to iOS.
Oh, I bet they will. If they want people to use it, they will.
Right. But I understand why they went with Android first.
Sure, yeah.
And it's because, you know, it's Google and it's their thing. Mm-hmm. But when they want to have widespread mobile adoption, then they'll have to suck it up and release an iOS version. And for all of our friends that are Android device users, I'm not trying to diss you. It's just right now, that's how it is. If you want to get that widespread adoption, you better go with iOS. Jesus Christ. Sorry. Apparently, I now have an insane electrical storm going on right outside my place. Okay.
That was really,
hopefully Jeff doesn't get zapped.
That was random.
Yeah, well, okay. So let me use that as an opportunity to remind everyone, this is exactly why you want to have line filtering and battery backups for all your electronic devices. So when you have these lightning strikes that look like they're maybe two blocks away, your computers and hard drives don't blow up.
Word.
And if you have your computer hooked into your network over Ethernet, make sure that your Ethernet lines have surge protection as well, because a lot of equipment gets fried by electricity jumping back through your cable connection, through your router, and Ethernet cables back to devices.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm guilty of that one, and it's bad.
So...
Yeah,
of not being prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to have my battery backup hooked up to the internet as well, but the internet's in a different room right now, so that doesn't work too well.
So I'm guilty of not having a battery backup at all.
No, they're fun.
They're critical. My entire system is on a battery backup, even as we speak, and everything is line filtered.
Cool. All right, so back to the Google Drive, though. Is it? It's... what are the applications for this? I guess just anything you want to, you put any stuff on there that you want, you get, I'd assume there's probably an API so applications can hop into it and save and sync stuff on it. You can collaborate with people, share files.
Right. And you can also use Google's technology to search your own content your drive. And they have OCR built in as well. So, it's like, in my opinion, a hybrid between Dropbox and Evernote.
Oh, yeah.
In that sense.
Neat. That's very cool. So how does one get Google Drive if they don't have it?
If you have a Gmail account or a Google account.
I do.
That's your key in. And... I think there's a URL you can go to specifically.
drive.google.com/start?
I believe that would be it.
Okay, because and it said that it would notify me when my drive was ready. Is it just going to be like
you'll get
2 hours? Or is it going to be...
It took me about 12 hours before my email showed up.
I thought I had signed up for one, and I don't remember getting the email, but maybe I received it and didn't notice it yet.
Possible, or you might not have received it. I don't know what the criteria is for getting those activations out to people. But all I know is that for me, I clicked the button to get into the program, and then about 12 hours later, I got my email. And then I was able to just log right in. And at that point, you're immediately... seeing your content that you already have, like if you're using Google Docs, that shows up immediately as part of your Google Drive.
Oh, cool. Alrighty, so let's see. We're hearing, according to Apple Weeges, that's probably not the right pronunciation. But we're hearing that...
Did you say Apple Leeches?
No. Weeches? Okay. Wheat? W? Whatever. We're hearing that an iOS-inspired iPhoto for Mac update will be coming over the summer, which makes sense. But it's exciting to hear, especially considering how awesome the interface for iPhoto on iOS is, especially with the enhancements... In the journals, of course, the journals feature is not available in iPhoto.
Does this mean you won't be able to organize photos in iPhoto anymore? I say that as a joke.
Yeah.
I know why you can't do it on iOS, and I think it's a stupid reason, but I understand why. But still, stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, so it makes sense. But it's good to hear, assuming that it's factual. And then again, it does make sense, as I said. Tickets for WWDC went on sale and then sold out 2 hours later.
Before anybody woke up.
Yeah, isn't that, you'd think that they were going to do something different this year or have more tickets or I don't know.
Well, they did do something different this year. They sold out in 2 hours instead of six.
Okay. Well, it's June 11th through 15th at Moscone. I would assume. I haven't even read that part.
Well, you didn't mention the part that then they took everybody's tickets away.
No, I didn't hear that. What? How, what?
Yeah. That, we still don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not letting people go now.
Well, like a bunch of major developers, like, what is it, Cabal Sasser, and did Daniel Juckett appointed out, I don't know if he had it actually happen to him, like a couple like big developers are like, oh, I just got an email, Apple just canceled my tickets. Yeah. Because I guess they had some sort of limit, you know, they were trying to limit it by saying if you're an individual, you can only get one ticket. I think these are the rules.
Yes.
If you're an individual, you can only get one ticket. If you're a company, I guess you can somehow get up to five, but it wasn't really clear how you get your five. I guess you have to register as the company instead of as an individual. It's just like it's a total mess.
Yeah, but they weren't clear how it worked. And so for several developers that are companies and they purchased multiple tickets, they had either all the tickets revoked or all but one. And the crappy thing is, what are they going to do now? I mean, yeah. I'm hoping Apple is holding those tickets in limbo while they sort it out.
Hopefully.
But, yeah, that's pretty crappy.
Yeah, in typical Apple fashion, of course, they're not saying anything to anybody or letting anybody know what's going on. They're just sort of doing whatever they want to do, and I guess it'll get sorted out later.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, and then there's the West Coast developers, many of whom are pissed off because they got the notification that tickets were on sale and sold out when they woke up.
Right.
Because for West Coast people, the tickets went on sale at 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They really should have. I don't know why
I'm surprised
before they couldn't at least announce and say, look, we're going to be selling. I mean, they do it with iPhones. They do it with iPads. Hey, it's going on sale at this time on this day. You better be ready. And at least there's a fair, at that point, there's a fair chance for everybody, right? In this case, you didn't even know.
Yeah.
No.
It's really bad.
I don't expect Apple to start doing a lottery for tickets, which I've seen some people suggest that they might do next year.
Oh, that would be horrible.
That would be, I think that would turn into a major cluster. But what I would like to see is what you just said. They give everyone a 24-hour notice. Or even if it's only 12 hours, that would still be something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So last story we have here. Sprint CEO Dan Hesse has said that if the next iPhone has LTE, they will continue offering their unlimited data plan, which is good news considering they're the only company offering the iPhone in the US that allows people to have an unlimited plan for new subscriptions.
Aren't a couple of the regional carriers offering unlimited data? I know what you mean of the major carriers.
Right. Do the regional carriers offer the iPhone though?
Oh, Michael, you should like totally pay attention.
Yeah. No, I have that problem. What's up? Clue me in.
Okay, so as of a couple weeks ago, I think we're up to like eight regional carriers. Does that sound about right? We started with C Spire last fall, and then we have, I think, three in the Virginia, Ohio, kind of Appalachian area.
So you have to, you can't get this from Apple's website. You have to go there.
I think somewhere on Apple's website there's a link to all the different carriers. I haven't looked for a long time.
So I'm going to, like, I'm in the store right now and I'm trying to buy an iPhone on a carrier that's not Sprint, AT&T, or Verizon, and it doesn't allow me to do that.
Oh, no, you can't actually buy them that way.
Okay.
But there, I'm pretty sure there's a page somewhere on the Apple website that lists all the carriers. I think there's like five in Alaska now. There are a couple others, and
yeah, I guess you can get it from the website.
I just can't think off the top of my head where they are.
Hmm. Okay, cool. So, all right. Well, either way, that is good news. I don't know how good is Sprint's data network these days in terms of around the U.S. They're pretty much in line with AT&T and Verizon, or no?
You know, I have some friends that are Sprint users, and they have iPhones. And one of them travels a lot. And she complains about coverage everywhere she goes, just the same as my friends on AT&T and my friends on Verizon.
Okay.
So I'm taking that to mean their coverage availability is in line with AT&T and Verizon.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at 3G is pretty widespread on their map here. 4G is just like a couple dots. So I think that's more. I think you get more 4G available on AT&T and Verizon than I would guess.
Right, and the most 4G, I think, is Verizon.
Oh, is it?
I'm sorry, most LTE is Verizon. And depending on what you want to qualify as 4G, is probably AT&T.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, either way, unlimited is unlimited. And, you know, if you get throttled on AT&T, then you might as well have Edge. Although they still haven't throttled me. I use buttloads of data all the time still. And they haven't throttled me.
The day is young.
Yeah, true that.
I should probably, actually, this might be a good time for me to give an update on my quest to use my actual unlocked phone.
Yeah, go for
yes,
it.
Please.
I would like to hear about that.
So a bunch of people kind of emailed me back. Many were surprised that I didn't have the carrier settings options, you know, the APN settings options on the device like we talked about the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is using the Straight Talk SIM card, which is actually, as I mentioned, I think last time, on AT&T's network. They're a mobile virtual network operator for AT&T. So you actually don't even need to have an unlocked phone to use the Straight Talk SIM, which I think is where the problem lies. Because
right.
I just got the T-Mobile SIM in the mail, and I've been trying to activate that one too and having a whole different set of issues. And when I put that SIM in, immediately I got the cellular data network options in the phone.
Yeah.
So I think even though I have an officially unlocked AT&T phone, you know, unlocked through Apple, because the SIM, you know, and the network technically to the device looks like AT&T, I think in software on iOS, it still thinks it's on the AT&T network, so it doesn't open up those APN settings. Well, the problem with the APN settings is that you need to have those set in order to be able to use the data network.
Right.
And
yeah.
I have to have them set for Straight Talk. And so I poked around. I tried using the iPhone configuration utility, which is the old version of the sort of management software that you can get from Apple's support website.
Right.
And I was able to put in the APN information, but for whatever reason, even when my phone was connected, I could not transfer those settings. So then I tried the newer Apple configurator tool, the one that you can get through the App Store,
yeah,
the Mac App Store.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was able to use that one. And then it took me a while to figure out how to download the profile. But once I was able to put in the information and load the profile, everything worked fine. It's just the Apple Configurator tool, the user interface for it, in my opinion, is really kind of sucky.
Hmm.
So I covered how to do it on my show. But in essence, you launch the Configurator tool, and the first pane is something called Prepare. And there's a little profile section, and you have to click the little plus button to add a profile. And then once you've added the profile, you have to double-click on that profile in the list, and then it will bring up sort of the settings panel. And you scroll all the way to the bottom, and you'll see the APN section.
Hmm.
And that's all you have to fill out. And the only thing you have to put in is the access point name, the APN name for the AT&T MVNO. So it's att.mvno.
Yeah.
You plug that in, you hit save, and then that'll take you back to that first prepare tab. And then this is where I couldn't figure out how to load it, because the way you load it on your phone is you connect your phone, you know, via the USB cable, and then you check the little checkbox next to the profile, and then down at the bottom of the little window, the configurator window, there's a little prepare button. And I don't know why clicking prepare would be the thing that loads it onto the phone, but that's what you do.
Sure.
This is ridiculous.
You click prepare, and then it starts loading the profile onto the phone. And then the phone will ask you to confirm that you want to load the profile, and you say okay, and then it installs, and then you're good to go. So, totally messed
that's
up.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Totally messed up, and I don't know how anybody would ever figure that out on their own, but
I don't think that's really something they thought through. Just a hunch.
But as you suspected, with the T-Mobile SIM, once you put it in, it is easier because you can do it right on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
And I just put my T-Mobile SIM in now, and it's activated, and I was going to see, and I didn't even need to put in any APN settings for T-Mobile, and it seems to be working just fine. So, you suspected,
still,
Michael.
Yeah. It's easier to jailbreak and unlock than it is to go through the official channels.
If you're using the Straight Talk plan, it seems like.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the only circumstance under which it would be easier to jailbreak, considering this lovely utility Apple has for us.
Yeah. Well, and there was this really easy way. There's a New Zealand website called unlockit.co.nz that already has the APN profiles for all of the carriers.
You were just leery of using something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they can't really,
I'm not recommending it because I don't know who runs the site. I don't know who the people are. It's this guy named Craig Whitmore. Maybe he's totally legit. I have no idea. And I just, so until I can vouch for somebody in their site, but a ton of people seem to use it and recommend it. And I'm sure it's fine because again, it's just loading a profile. And for anybody who doesn't know, the profiles are just little kind of text files. I would assume they're like XML files or some sort of settings file that gets loaded into a special area on the iPhone.
And those things, those files are signed too.
Yeah, you don't need to be jailbroken. And so here's the funnier thing.
They're not signed?
Well, no, I did not install the ones from unlockit.co.nz. But when I went to their website, you know, you can click on it and then it will start to try to load it onto your device and it'll say, hey, do you want to load this? And it gives you all the information and it says, hey, this is signed and it's officially signed and locked. The one by default that you load, that you build and load from Apple's configurator tool will say not verified. Because it's not, I mean, it's obviously not signed. I think you could get a signing certificate and load that some way within the tool, but I didn't bother
to do
that.
Thank goodness you don't have to do that, though.
Right. Thank goodness you don't have to.
That'd
but
be insane.
It's just a funny difference. Is the one from the Unlock It jailbreaking site is actually verified, but the one that you load yourself from Apple's own tool is not verified.
Yeah, cool.
So anyway. But I haven't had a chance to compare T-Mobile data speeds. I will tell you on Straight Talk, the data speeds were pretty comparable download-wise to what I get on AT&T's network. There was about a 1 megabit per second, or half a megabit per second, really, on average difference in download speeds. So Straight Talk was a little bit slower. but they don't claim to be 4G. I think they claim to still be 3G, but it's the same network, so I would imagine there's no difference, although I guess it's an older phone. I'm using a 3GS, so it'd be 3G speeds, so that makes absolute sense. Mm-hmm. Upload speeds, though, were completely off. And again, maybe that's, I didn't even think about it until just now, but maybe that's because of the 3GS. I don't remember if the upload rates in the chipsets that are on the 3GS are a lot different than the 4S. Because I was only getting upload speeds of like half a megabit per second, which seemed really low to me.
Wow.
But maybe that's the way it was with the 3GS. I don't rightly know.
You don't rightly know.
Well, when the original iPhone came out, we thought Edge was pretty snappy.
So true. You get spoiled. Yes. But otherwise it works great. And again, it's $45 a month, and that's unlimited text, unlimited data, and unlimited voice. So
that's a nice deal.
Yeah.
Gil. All righty.
Anyway, sorry. Long update, but that's the update.
Good stuff. So, with that, it's time for our picks. Picky pick pick picks. You guys ready? Jeff, you want to go first?
Sure. Have I talked about Welder before? W-E-L-D-E-R.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. Okay, so Welder, it's a word game. And think of it sort of like Boggle, where you get a bunch of letters on the screen and then you have to build words out of them. But you can slide the letter tiles around to create your words. And every time you build a word, the tiles blow up and then more stuff drops in. And so the object is to get enough points building words that you can go to the next level. And then there are different types of tiles that get you more points. Sometimes you can't move. And it's just a nice, clever word game that you play against yourself. And for each word that comes up, it will scroll across the bottom of the display. And so then you can see your most recent words. You can tap one of them, and it'll bring up the definition. So if you're not sure what the word means that you just spelled, or if you drop in a letter and it creates multiple words for you and you don't know what some of them are, you can just tap on the word and get the definition as well.
Cool.
It's an iPad game, and I cannot remember how much it costs.
Dollar. $1.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yep. And it's the one with the periods, right?
Yes.
Older. $1. Cool. Adam, what is your pick this week?
Did anybody do Pocket yet?
No.
No.
I was considering it last week, but then I decided I don't like it.
You don't like it? Okay, I'm curious to know why you don't like it. Because I'm actually switching to it from Instapaper, I think. I haven't fully decided yet, but I'm really liking Pocket. And for anybody who doesn't know, Pocket is the rebranding of the service Read It Later, which I guess used to be a paid service, but now has gone completely free. And it does very similar stuff to like Instapaper, where you can be reading a website, or I can be browsing my RSS feed, or reading a tweet or something like that, and then save that information off for later, but then get it presented either on the website or within the app just as a straight up kind of text view. And that's how I prefer to read more long form articles. So when I'm going through my RSS feed and there's something that's a longer article that I don't have time right at that moment to read, I usually would be sending it off to Instapaper. And I love Instapaper. It's great. But then Pocket came out and I thought, hey, this is an interesting alternative. And for some reason last week I was having some Instapaper issues. So I thought, well, I'll give Pocket a try and see if I like it. And their iOS app is just, it's beautiful. It's very simple. It kind of feels a little more like Flipboard in terms of the presentation of articles and stuff like that. The other thing that it has is it has support for images and video as well, which I don't think Instapaper has, at least not as elegantly as
It's not as
elegant. Pocket does. Yeah. And there's a little more control in terms of, I think, just how I'm going through articles and stuff like that. And I just really like the presentation and the offline viewing, and I'm just really enjoying the whole experience. And it's integrated with everything, you know, everything that I use. So Tweetbot has integration for it, Flipboard, Reader, and of course, they've got web browser bookmarklets that you can throw in there. So every place that I'm able to use Instapaper, I seem to be able to use Pocket. And that's key. And then, of course, the pricing, the fact that it's free. So I don't know. I haven't made a full-on verdict, but it seems to work more smoothly for me. And I don't know why that is. And I love Instapaper. I mean, absolutely have loved Instapaper for a long, long time. So what happened to me, in case anybody's wondering, was I had sent a bunch of stuff to Instapaper, and for some reason it wasn't showing up on my iPad, or it was significantly delayed. So I don't know if they were just having some server issues last week, but I wasn't having the same experience with Pocket. So that's what prompted me to give it a try, and I've liked it. So
cool.
There you go.
Well, okay, so my issue with Pocket, and it's free, and it does have the wonderful read it later mobilizer, and it does present the text in a very nice way. The UI for the application is great. And I think you forgot to mention the fact that it's not good for just articles, but it's also good for video and images now too. Have you noticed that?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I said that. I don't know if you heard me say that.
Oh, I wasn't.
Also, we lost Jeff.
Yeah. He had a kernel panic. He just texted me. That sucks. But yeah, that's the thing that really drew me to it. But then what took me away, and this may end up being a moot point, but the fact that it doesn't have folders.
I forgot to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up. That is my one big complaint, and the one big advantage that Instapaper has.
No folders, no tabs, or tags. And honestly, I hope they don't just say, okay, we have tags, because tags is kind of a poor excuse.
Well, it does have tags. That's what I was going to say. Okay, that's the workaround. Yeah. It has tags, but...
But you can't have a bookmarklet that says, I want to throw this in, I want to tag it with this.
I don't know about on iOS, the way the bookmarklet works in the browser is when you click the bookmarklet button, it slides down a little panel, and on that panel is a tag button. And so if you hit that, you can add tags at add time. And I guess the other nice thing that I like about it is it has this sort of the smart orientation lock thing. So if you're reading an article, very often I only want to read in portrait mode. And so if you're reading an article and you forgot to set the rotation lock, and when it rotates for a few seconds, it throws up a rotation lock button. And at that point, you can hit it and it'll lock into whatever orientation is currently on the screen. So you can toggle it on and off really quickly every time you rotate it.
That's nice.
Yeah. And so if you already have it locked and you try to rotate to landscape, it'll just kind of bring up for a second or two the little lock button, and if you tap it at that moment, it'll unlock it.
So it's kind of like a translucent kind of deal.
Translucent. It's not really in the way.
Cool.
Not really blocking what you're doing, but little touches like that make usability really nice, and that's what sort of draws me to apps like this, and maybe away from others. So it'll be interesting. You know, it's all good, because like I said, I really like Instapaper, and so it'll be interesting to see if they make any changes or respond to this. I hate thinking that it's a competition, because they're both really great apps. So I don't really look at it that way. It's just more of a preference thing. And it's more and more we're having that opportunity with iOS. It's like there's two or three or four, sometimes even half a dozen really great apps that are all really good. And it's just sort of like, what's your preference? Which one do you like best?
Hey, that's where we want to go. That's a good direction.
That's not a bad place to be in.
For sure. And I'm sure they might add folders, so who knows. And Jeff, you're back?
I am. I'm nimble. So when my MacBook Pro kernel panicked, that's weird.
Sure is.
I just I just popped open the lid on my MacBook Air, fired up Skype, and here I am, but probably not with the same fidelity that I had a moment ago.
No. It's all right, though.
It's the built-in mic.
Yeah.
But
thankfully, you don't really need to talk too much more.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll live with it.
You can listen and add little comments.
I'm good at that.
Yeah. All right. So your pick is Pocket. It's free.
Free.
Free, 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 which is great because that was one of the complaints I had about read it later. Was it? Yeah, I thought it was read. Was it readability or read it later?
Yeah. And just in case anybody's wondering, until the third-party apps sort of catch up, if you need to enter your account info, a lot of them still say read it later. So
yeah,
you just plug it in the same place. But I'm sure there'll be app updates for Twitter and Tweetbot and Pulse and all those other apps.
Yeah, too. Apparently they're using the same exact API, which certainly makes sense. And so you can bounce stuff back and forth right now without any changes to those apps. So cool.
Yep.
Pocket. It's in the App Store. It's at, what is it? Get Pocket?
Yeah. Get Pocket.com.
GetPocket.com. So you got the bookmark.
I hope that's not, by the way, I hope that's not the new trend to deal with.
I think it is. It's going to be
taken up.
It already is.
Domains.
It is.
Thanks to Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
I think they started it, right? GetDropbox.com.
Well,
it's because Dropbox wasn't available at first.
Right.
From what I heard.
Right. But so people picking up on the trend. So we've moved away from the drop the vowel thing to just add Git in front of the whatever your product is.
Yeah. Maybe a prefix, not necessarily Git, but maybe like app or Git or Git app.
Well, app is usually the suffix, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
MyReallyCoolApp.com.
Oh, right.
Or app.blob.com or whatever. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so my pick is one that I thought we had already picked like forever ago. I searched. It hasn't been picked. And either way, whether or not it has been picked, it needs to be talked about again, which is that's Air Video.
Oh, we picked
I
that.
Searched. I'm thinking we did, but you know what? We should talk about it anyway.
Because multiple times. I think.
Use it constantly. So if you don't know what it is.
Now I'm going to have to do an honorable mention after you're done.
Okay. If you don't know what it is, this app is what you need for video. It takes care of all video for you on your iPhone, on your iPad. And it's for streaming, of course. That's what the name is, Air Video. But you stream video from your Mac. So for me, I have a Mac Mini, as I referred to earlier. And I keep all of my TV shows and movies and stuff like that on there. And the way that I consume it on my iPhone and more so on my iPad is with Air Video because it's really fast. Has a great interface and it's very, very flexible. And my favorite feature is, okay, so you can watch stuff over the local area network, but more so it's infinitely handy when you're away from home and you want to watch some video that you have on your Mac. And you don't want to be bothered with syncing any of the video to your iPad. You just want to pick it and go. So if you're at home on the network, you bring it up and you can just hit play on it as long as it's in the native, in a format that, an H.264 format that your iPad can natively play. You can do the same thing over a remote network if you want, depending on the speeds. But so for stuff that the videos aren't in the H.264 format, for example, anything that your Mac can play, any video your Mac can play, Air Video's got you covered because it has a wonderful live convert feature. So you can do stuff over the network. So you can pretty much get full quality out of stuff that's weird formats over your local area network without having to do any conversions or anything like that. Or you can convert it to, you can downsample it, you can down convert it to formats that better suit your connection wherever you are remotely away from your Mac. So if you're on 3G on your iPhone, for example, or you're just doing a 3G connection, whatever, There are many, 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 many features, many options, I should say, available for live converting your video from whatever it is down to a format and size and bitrate that best suits your connection. And it's just awesome. It's one of those apps that's on the first home page on my iPad because I use it constantly. It has AirPlay built into it, so if you ever need to AirPlay something to your Apple TV, it's perfect for that. And on my iPad too, I'm able to play 1080p video perfectly with it. I'm not sure. Is that a feature of the iPad 2 that you're able to play 1080p video?
The iPad 2?
iPad 2.
I didn't think so.
I believe that's iPad third generation view.
Yeah, well, I mean, check it out. You can totally do it. And there's no drop in frame rate. If you play something like that on the original, the Apple TV 2, you get drops in frame rates, but it's an A4. You got an A5, a dual core A5 in the iPad 2, which is what the new iPad or new Apple TV has. And that's what they use to play 1080p stuff. And it works perfectly on my iPad 2. So there's a neat little feature there. But it's great.
The new Apple TV is a single core A5, right?
Oh, so it's, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I believe it's dual core, but when it's shut off.
Exactly. Yes. You got it.
Gotcha. Okay. But yeah, and then I forget to mention the most important thing for people who are concerned about networking and making your remote connections. It has a lovely back end that allows you to just, you add the pin of your Mac. So you have a little client that you run on your Mac. And I believe, do they have Windows available too on AirVideo? Can you do this with?
That I don't know.
AirVideo. I think you can. But you do run a client. And if you want to do that, yeah, it's Windows and Mac. It assigns you a pin and then you add the pin to your app. And then it remotely navigates and negotiates all the networking stuff for you. So you always have access to your videos. And I don't think it's ever failed me. And it's only $3. So just get it. You know? I think we all have it.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So with that, you can find all of the picks and...
Oh, wait. I promised an honorable mention.
Go for it.
Oh, yes.
Because you brought up the AirVideo thing. Real quick. And this website does the whole app thing. It's reflectionapp.com. You guys know about Reflection?
I have heard of
that's
it.
That's Erica Sadoons, isn't it?
No.
Is it hers?
She does something.
It's the same company that does AirParrot.
Yeah.
Then I'm probably wrong.
Okay. If Erica Zadoon has something, please bring it up. I didn't know, but this came up because I was doing a presentation at a user group, and I had not run across this yet. I think somebody had mentioned it to me in passing, but basically what it lets you do is AirPlay mirror your iOS device to your Mac. So it's great if you need to do presentations and you have your Mac hooked up to a projector, because you can just show your iPad or your iPhone screen directly on your Mac, and it does it at full quality. And the other big feature for me is that it also has the ability to screen capture that, to record that video.
Ooh!
So if you need to include it in a demo or a how-to video or something like that, you can do that. And you can show it with or without a frame of the device. So it's got a lot of really nice features. You can put it in full screen mode. It works incredibly well, and I'm going to be using it at my next user group meeting for sure. So, and I can't remember how much it costs. It's
$15.
Yeah, well,
totally
worth it.
It does the mirroring for devices which support the mirroring.
Of course,
yeah. But it will. I'm guessing that it will AirPlay anything as long as it right. You can AirPlay video.
That's yeah.
So not just of course it's using the same protocol, but you can AirPlay a movie.
Oh,
or
like
something.
If you had an app that, yeah, does the, and I can confirm that, because one of the frustrations I have with demoing Note Shelf is that its note mode supports the AirPlay like video presentation thing. So I can never show anybody the UI of taking notes, because it actually just projects the, you know, has like a presentation mode. So it actually projects different video onto the mirror than the actual just UI.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah, so that would be how apps that support, like the video app that just outputs the video, it's just going to show the video on the reflection. It's not going to show the mirrored desktop.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. Cool. That was it.
It's reflectionapp.com, and I'll throw that in the show notes too.
Cool.
So let me make a note there. But yeah, you can get all of our picks, links to all the picks if you're driving or whatever, at wehavecommunicators.com, as well as all the show notes, stuff that we mentioned during the show, including the Reflection app URL. Put that all in there. Wehavecommunicators.com. You can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That's the email address. You can send feedback, questions, comments, all that kind of stuff. Audio comments, if you have any of that, you can send that to us right there. And that's the best quality, and it's easiest for me to insert it in the show if you want, if it's relevant to be played back. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Also, if you want to call in, you can do that too, 202-642-6667. That's the phone number. And we actually had a caller call in just, I think yesterday. Forgot to get to that, but I was kind of in a rush from where I was before I got onto this. So, but that's the phone number, 202-642-6667. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, at macobserver.com. It's at macobserver.com. He's not at macobserver.com on Twitter. That doesn't make any sense. But he's at Jake Gamet on Twitter.
No, see, that makes sense.
Yeah, there you go. It almost made sense. What I said almost made sense. If Twitter didn't exist, that would have made sense, right?
Right.
Yeah. So thank you, Twitter. Zazzle.com/Jake Gamet is his Zazzle store, and you can find many things on that on which he's drawn. You personally drawn every one of those, right?
Yes. Yes. Every drawing is from me specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Also, the We Have Communicators mug is there.
Everything tastes better in that.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking out of it right now.
Cool. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast. That's MattCast.com. He's also at MattCast on Twitter.
Yep.
Member.MattCast.com is the member version of the show.
Yeah. Yep. It's all of that stuff.
Cool, cool.
I'm still posting sketches from paper too on the Mac Sketch.
The Tumblr.
I like your Scooby Doo.
Oh, cool! Thanks.
Is that a Tumblr?
Yeah, MacSketch.tumblr.com.
I'll throw that in the show notes. How about that? Lots of stuff in the show notes. All right.
Throw Fresh Brewed Tales in there too. People need to be exposed to what really happens at coffee shops.
Yeah,
oh,
for
that,
sure.
That blog is awesome. You need to read that.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Is that that's a countertop dog. Huh.
It's hilarious.
And I want to point out for everyone that goes and checks out the blog and reads the stuff that's there, I do not make up anything.
Yeah, you don't need to.
No, I don't need to. People just... feed me content.
Yeah, all day. They don't even know it.
Have you guys seen the People of Walmart music video on YouTube?
No.
Oh my God, that's disturbing and funny and wrong and funny.
Related, quasi-related to what you were just saying, like not making up the stories. It's a music video and they have pictures like taken from actual Walmart stores and it's hilarious. So just look up People of Walmart on YouTube, music video. And there's actually three of them, I think. I was just dying.
Well, Walmart is a target-rich environment.
Yes. For people, just interesting people.
There you go. And Michael's already brought it up and we've probably lost him now.
No, I'm screwing around with something else, but yeah.
It's they're the ones from Jessica French is the user who puts them up.
Cool.
So,
all right. I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter, at Little Reviews as well. I do little reviews of various things. And with that, we'll talk to you next week. And we have communicators.
How are we going to communicate this?
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right?
right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no.
Okay, fine. We'll do a show.